Amagwini ithokozani emakhosini. Igama lam nguzipho wakwaKudolamo elokugula nguMayihlome. Xa uthanda ungandibiza ngoGumayihlome okanye ngoGonyazi lweZulu. Bendizothanda uthatha eli thuba ndicamagushe kuzo zonke izihlweli ezindiphetheyo eziphakathi komzimba wam endilibeleyo okanye endingazibizanga ngoku zingaqumbi iziqalekisi. Ndiqale ngocamagusha emabheleni, emkolanga odlambulo oqunta ovaphi onondanda kuphakanyiswa, ndiyacamagusha. Ndicamagushe emazizini olamyeni omtatela ongxibinoboya. Ndicamagushe kombathane oxesibe, ndingawalibelanga mampinga owawa obholokoqoshe. Camagushe kwisihlwele sandiphehlelelayo sandibekibhekile entloko, nditsho kuthiyani uzengele unonkosi xa ndisitsho ndicamagushe. Camagushe ke kwisihlwele sotholo ondlangisa, ndicamagushe kootida ongcwangule. Camagushe kwisihlwele sandifundisa uphakama isidlozi, njalo ndithokozise kubaba wam uMamntambo kaNhlangothe, ngithi thokoza gogo. Ndithokozise kugogomkhulu wami uMapitsi kaMahoto, ndithi bayethe makhosi amakhulu, makhosi ezizwe. Ndiyacamagusha.
Thokozani and welcome to episode 22 of Gogo Have I Been Scammed, brought to you by Times Live. On this platform, we discuss, share wisdom, and raise awareness on all things traditional African spirituality and indigenous knowledge, including but not limited to scams. My name is Gogozipho Dolamo and I am your host. Okay, so we are going to be engaging with a woman who has decided to share her story with us, trying to do right by herself, her in-laws and her children. So let's get right into it.
Dear Gogo, my name is Nompumelelo. I'm a mother of three, expecting my fourth. My partner and I have been together since I was 22. It has been 16 years now. A few years ago, he paid lobola after the birth of our first child. My problem is that my family and I agreed he would pay damages. I was ambushed on the day when suddenly I was told uba bazongcwabisa umakoti as well. My uncle told me that it was a decision taken by the elders and I would have to go with it. Nabacacisela that during my pregnancy he was unfaithful and I found out. Unfortunately, andina mama, and so the decision have been taken by mostly the men on my father's side of the family. We never really had a wedding ceremony or anything, just the lobola, and my children have taken their father's surname. Umyeni wami is a man who describes himself as a flirt. He always declared that he has never cheated on me or intends to. He just can't help himself. I recently was contacted by a woman who claimed to be the mother of his two children. She sent me pictures and they look like my children. It's actually quite scary. She claimed that she has been in a relationship with my husband for nearly 8 years and he promised that he would introduce her to the family. Anginandaba, what promises he made to her? I just want to know what happens to me culturally if I don't wish to participate in whatever this is. I don't want to call it polygamy, because in my limited understanding of polygamy, to exist, there needs to be a go-ahead from me. I want to exit this situation, but I want to know if will it affect me spiritually. If I leave my marital home, what ritual are there that need to be observed? I ask because I was welcomed there where animals were slaughtered and families bound by contract. When I leave, how do I ensure the safety of my children? I mean spiritually. Many people are concerned that my husband and his new wife have been bewitching me based on some small misfortunes I've experienced in the recent past. How do I know that this is the case? Also, I'm a woman who was raised in a mixture of prayer and spiritual practices. But I don't like to think that people are in control of my life more than God is. Hey, my children are staying with me, but they go to see their paternal family. Is there anything that I can do to ensure that they are safe spiritually? I don't want to deny them access to their family. Oh, Gogo, please help me.
Okay, so I want to first start off by thanking Usis Mbumi for trusting us here at Gogo with the narrative of her life, trusting us as a potential sounding board for her troubles, and potentially negotiating, or I suppose thinking about her next steps with our advice and consideration. I think before we get into it, right, there tends to be a big hoo-ha, if I could say, around unmarried women giving advice to married women. And so I just want to put it right to Susie Mpumi herself and naturally our viewers that I am unmarried and I don't have any children. But and I naturally will lean towards the perspective of keeping the best interests of the mom and the children where possible, right? I will also say that growing up naturally, I'm not an island. I have experienced marriages through my parents, through, you know, the greater community, families, and so forth. And though narratives and stories are not identical, but there are little bits and pieces where you have seen some of what Mpumi is speaking about in her description of her life. And essentially what I am saying is that growing up and around women, there are women who have made difficult choices not to continue with their marriages. There are women who've chosen, in spite of the troubles similar to what Mpumi is facing, to soldier through and to build their family the way that they want to. I want to put it to you that I respect the choices of both types of women, and the women who will sit and build their families and those who will want to take it upon themselves to show their kids a better life and to model a better being for themselves and their kids. I want to affirm, Moses Mpumi, that there isn't a right or a wrong decision here, because naturally she needs to factor in the preservation of not only her life, baby who's coming, as well as the children that she already has with her husband. I will always argue what is in the best interests of the child, I suppose, being a person who's grown up in South Africa, knowing a little bit about the law, knowing a little bit about the kinds of structures that are in place to deal with familial disputes and how they tend to lean towards really the preservation of the best interests of the child. So I think Mpumi asked a couple of questions, right? And we naturally will get into them. I don't know if I did mention, but today we are tackling Sis Mpumi's conversation and Sis Mpumi's problem one-on-one. So it will just be me today unpacking with my very little or limited experience rather. But I do hope that I will drop some pearls of wisdom, because naturally I do want to remind everyone that I am a practicing healer and I have dealt with different issues of different calibers, be it single women trying to navigate their relationships with their partners. And I mean, and by single, I mean unmarried, whether it's married women as well. So, you know, there is a little bit of experience, although naturally I will confess that my bias will tend to be around the preservation of the woman and the mother and the babies as well. So I think when we speak about issues that impact couples that have had some kind of exchanges in dowry or have made commitments, zamalobola and so forth, we are consistently faced with the idea that there has been a contractual agreement, yes, between the two human beings who are choosing one another in partnership and in union, but also that that contract and that that union transcends transcends beyond rather the two physical human beings, that it impacts the clan and it impacts the families at large as well, right? The saying that in the English language that, you know, a person doesn't marry an individual, but rather they are family, I think holds a greater significance than simply arguing that they are in-laws that will constantly be meddling in your business. But I think that it accounts for the fact that you are marrying into the clan, you are marrying into a system that has its brokenness, has its merits, has its flaws, has its beauty, as any average human being or any average familial system would be. So naturally, I would say that that saying accounts for the fact that, yes, you marry the individual, you marry the family, you marry into the clan, but you also sort of marry into the generational behavioral traits that have been passed along as a result of trauma as well. And I know that there is a big conversation around generational trauma at the moment. And yes, sometimes it's used quite haphazardly, but there is some depth and there is some truth to it as well, particularly when we're dealing with individuals that are coming together and hoping to start a family and a union. The idea of sort of what I will say that in Bumi's story, what got me a little bit was her speaking about how decisions were made beyond her consent, right? So yes, she did come into this union with her partner. They did make the baby together, or the first baby together, but the agreement and the understanding between them was that the contract of marriage would not exist at that point. And rather the contract that the paternal side of the family was sort of approaching her with was that we would like to pay damages for our child. And damages and the idea of damages extends to, I suppose, and trickles down to the very identity of a human being, right? Usually there is a stigma around children who have not been had, or rather who have not had damages paid for them versus children who have, particularly in like the African familial system. So then to be ambushed, and what got me was the ambush of, you know, the damages extending beyond to being lobola and that having been accepted as well, right? The modern feminist in me is screaming at that, because how do you just decide that a person gets married? But naturally, the African woman in me wants to say that because I've existed in an African space and in an African family, and though certain things like this haven't happened around me, but I have heard stories, there are narratives of ukuthwalwa even that might not necessarily be identical to the situation, but nonetheless, you know, there is a coercion of marriage. And then which extends to that then not being the agreement that Mpumi wanted for herself, right? And so I suppose back to the train of thought of having a marriage or a lobola being a contractual agreement, there is that spiritual contract as well, right? And naturally, if you are a person who lives in truth and you're a person who lives in light, transgressing or breaking a vow is something that I do not anticipate will not affect you, right? The manner in which it affects you becomes a different discussion. And I suppose we can and we will get into it. By that I mean that so maungeniswa emzini okulotyolwa okuhlawulwa umntwana, there is usually an amount exchanged, or there is some blood spilled, particularly within the lobola negotiations, right? Or in the marriage kind of journey. And so because for me, as I understand it, because there are those customs and those rites and rituals put in place, I would like to think that When a person walks away from a vow that they have made, that ukuthi firstly kumele babike ebantwini, you know, both living and dead, ukuthi we have tried or I have tried A, B, and C, and I can no longer carry on within this institution of marriage, right? Then I would also like to think that once families come together, because there was bloodshed initially, I would like to think that there has to be some kind of ritual that cleanses the individuals of the vows that they made, but also cleanses them of any potential kind of misfortunes or mishaps that can fall or befall them rather as a result of transgressing this contract that they've not only made to themselves and their families, but to their custodians in the next realm as well. So in answering that question, yes, there will be an impact spiritually because you made a vow, but that does not mean ubuti, the impact of that spiritually will necessarily take a negative toll, one that is negative on your life or one that cannot be altered if you simply have discussions with the elders who, you know, are nearest to you in understanding how you can possibly do this in a way that is safe for you. Kufuneka kuvelwe in the different families, emakhandleni of the different families, ukuthi, as I would understand it, because that's what you did in the first place. So, you know, as to, I suppose, borrow from the yogic school of thought, they like to speak about balance. What you do on one side of the body is what you would do on the other side of the body, right? I would like to think that, you know, borrow from that school of thought and apply it to here, that once you spill blood and you do rituals to begin something, that if you are ending that thing before the agreed time of its ending, then there needs to be some kind of intervention. There needs to become some kind of appearance to abantu abadala, both living and dead. Right. So again, yes, there will be a spiritual impact, but it is manageable and it is not the end of the world. Usizimbumi, you will not be the first person, you know, to go through this and to want to get answers. But in no way am I saying that to diminish or to nullify what you're going through, but rather to affirm that there have been people who have gone through this and have found ways to make it out of it. And I can understand possibly that the other apprehension is the stubbornness of the family and the elders, particularly because Umpumi was not consulted when this marriage situation came about. And so ending it naturally, she kind of does need to, and you do need to, Zimbumi, sort of reach out to those elders and negotiate uzthobe in the most humanly way possible, even though you are the one that is wronged, obviously. But I think it is always important to remember in an African context, ukuthi sikhumbule umntana uyazithoba regardless of, you know, regardless of whether you have a leg to stand on, whether you are upset or whether they see it or not, but ukuzithoba and coming at it with tact and the strategy of solving the problem will definitely, definitely go a long way. In dealing with whether, you know, there is need for the slaughtering of animals or the observation of ritual, I think I did cover it a little bit just now in speaking about, you know, contracts were made, you know, nichatisi, where a cow was slaughtered or imbuzi was slaughtered or whatever was slaughtered. So I would like to think that, you know, again, when the undoing of this thing comes, there has to be some kind of a slaughtering of an animal or a cleansing of sorts. How the cleansing happens will have to be a discussion between Ke Umpumi and family, right? Because we cannot do things in isolation without family. Or rather, there must be witnesses to say ukuthi into ibiyenziwe. There must be those people that are senior family members that could possibly be the ones who speak for us or represent our mothers and fathers. I do know Mpumi had mentioned that her mother is no longer with us. So there might be someone who has to stand in that place whenever what ritual is done. Different families have different ways of doing it. It will also be a little bit of an identity project in the sense that it will give her insight into the rites and the rituals of her marital family, but also how they go about solving marital disputes as her family as well. So it will teach her a little bit about her predecessors and how these things were handled, because naturally advice is, or teachings or learnings are passed on from generation to generation. And again, naturally, Naye, at some point in her life, she might have to play this role where she must ensure ukuthi certain things are observed when there is an undoing of a marriage or there is an undoing of something. And speaking about leaving her marital home or leaving her marriage, there are questions around ukuthi, you know, how does she ensure the safety of abantwana bakhe? How does she make sure ukuthi ba right spiritually and that they are untethered by, you know, by the undoing of the vow, I guess. Firstly, I think that, again, the manner in which it is undone and the customs and the rituals that are observed will greatly impact, I suppose, if I can say that, will greatly impact abantwana, right? In the sense yokuthi, in my experience, abantwana tend to be quite impacted spiritually by izinto that are happening around them. So be it, if it is something, you know, in the space that they are occupying, if it is something around a person that they are close to, but they tend to be quite accurate and quite delicate spiritual antennas and sponges. And in a family where customs are observed heavily and deeply, there always is that concern ukuthi abantwana bazophatheka kanjani in a situation like this. Again, I think the observation of those customs are important. I do think that if there is a space or a forum to have conversations about ukugqiniswa kwabantwana, even yourself, Mpumi, I think would be quite an integral thing. And ukugqiniswa really is the idea of cleansing, but also putting protections around umntu, ukuthi, you know, whatever is manufactured ilandela umntu, you know, it can just bounce off. I don't like to always entertain the idea that umntu has abantu, you know, who are intentionally doing things to them and stuff. But we must also consider that a negative thought or a negative intention for a person is also such energy. You are manufacturing that energy and just putting it out there, right? There is a saying, or there's a popular knowledge that umuntu uthakatha ngenhliziyo, umuntu uthakatha ngomlomo, and that a person, you know, can bewitch with their heart or their, you know, through their mouths. And that essentially is that, you know, if you have ill intention and you express those ill intentions, that's energy put out there, you know, that is not necessarily in favor of the subject. But I think that with constant cleansings and constant restoring of protections, constant prayers, constant, you know, just being in tune spiritually, I think everybody should be protected and everybody should be fine. Naturally, there is the idea, you know, we can't just be concerned about the spiritual protection of the children, because obviously, we are a holistic platform. We must also be concerned about dealing with, you know, the psychological impact of not only, you know, losing the two-parent household that they're used to, but also the impact of having to do or having to undergo these rituals of undoing as well. Because I cannot imagine that there can be a way ukuthi you can sort of, unless there is a way that you can shield the children from that. But the psychology of undoing as well might be something that must be looked at and looked into as well. Because, psychological health, physical, mental sort of feeds into spiritual health as well, and vice versa. So we want to look at that and make sure that we're not neglecting the other aspects of the child and the being, but we're also being holistic in the way that we're looking at the safety of the child, be it physically, spiritual, mentally, psychologically, and so forth. Now, concerning hubby having a new wife, and firstly, I firstly just think it is wild, if I can say that. It is very, very wild that an individual can live such parallel lives, two families, multiple families. But I suppose reeling it back into what happens now when hubby says he wants to firstly not only introduce this woman, but I'm also hearing chatters, or rather, Bumi's hearing chatter about there being possibly, activities of uthakathwa and uthakathana and bewitching and so forth. There is a popular narrative for those who follow all of the polygamy content that is endless out there about the extent of ukuthakathwa, especially esithenjini. And I don't like to necessarily dwell on the idea of witchcraft, but I do think that people who do have that conversation are valid, and their experience of it are valid as well. And it is sometimes very easy to say, ukuthi, hey, maybe, it's witchcraft when we are befallen by small misfortunes, as Mbumi is sort of concerned about as well. Ukuthi, possibly this new individual might seek to replace her and so forth and so forth. And I would challenge that a little bit because, okokuqala, this individual has lived in the shadow and the periphery of Mpumi's marriage for a very long time. For a long time. And so I think if there was merit and there was power in her ability to ukuthakatha, really, but I don't find that to be the case. But also equally, as she's negotiating her place in Mpumi's life and Mpumi's marriage as well, I don't think it is fair to assume that she wants to be a replacement for Umpumi, because again, she has been operating in the shadows for a while. So to assume that, there's a sense of wanting to bewitch her, and the motive of that bewitching is that she wants to be a replacement, I struggle to find that to be the truth. And even if it were, Mekfanba, again, she has very close proximity to Umpumi. They share a partner. So, I mean, it could not have been incredibly difficult to really deal with Mpumi on a spiritual level if she really wanted to. And imthetheleli, but I just think that sometimes we needn't jump into the witchcraft conversation very much. I do think that, to deal with it and to sort of put herself at psychological ease, Mpumi as well, is that she can continue to do a mixture of what she's been doing to protect herself in her experience, or through her background of using both prayer and the church, as well as spiritual and traditional practices. I do think she can carry on doing that. There is also power in consulting with a healer that you agree on with your family, right? As we have so emphasized on this platform before, in previous episodes, that you don't go to a healer by yourself. You take your family members, or you take someone that you trust with you, so that there is a level of scrutiny as well, I suppose, in the messaging. Because I do think that sometimes, in fact, all the time, so it is very easy to distort messages and to distort izinto, or to manipulate umuntu emotionally and to an extent spiritually as well. So I do think that, you know, taking someone there is validity to that, but also having a second opinion or having a second set of eyes on the message that you're receiving and making sure that, you know, you are not just hearing this out of emotion, because I can only imagine the level of anger, the level of disappointment, and just sheer and utter betrayal that must be, you know, permeating in Bumi's mind and heart. So yes, I do think that entertaining conversations around being bewitched and witchcraft at this very integral moment as well, because she is an expectant mother. So I do not think that it is very prudent to be doing izinto ezinjalo, or rather entertaining those conversations beyond sticking to your schedule of praying, being spiritual, and pouring into your own cup spiritually, making sure that you are cleansed and so forth. Another thing as well that I tend to be wary about in terms of expectant mothers is that kukhona imithi that umuntu should not be exposed to when they are expectant, right? Kukhona imithi that can function to the detriment of the development of the child as well, when, you know, you engage in practices where you need to be using certain, you know, herbs and concoctions and so forth, even outside of ingesting, yeah, those herbs, but just handling them and having them near you in your aura are not necessarily the best and could harm the child in terms of longevity in their development. So we must always be careful around that. There is a big disconnect sometimes, Uti. You know, it is only the things that a mother ingests while they are pregnant that can harm the child. But Ngemithi and spirituality and within indigenous knowledge, we must also factor in that just being in the presence or interacting or handling certain herbs when you are an expectant mother is not necessarily the most ideal and should be discouraged as well. Very, very discouraged. We don't want developmental problems that could be avoided by entertaining certain things that, you know, yeah. Anditsho ukuthi abantu abathakathi, and anditsho ba abantu don't interfere with one another. But I think at this very crucial moment, I will re-emphasize ukuthi the focus should be on nurturing the life that, you know, she's bringing into this world rather than focusing on what other adults are doing together and when they are not in her presence. Insofar as I suppose granting access to the paternal family, granting them access rather to the children and certain things that can be done to protect abantwana and so forth. You know, again, spirituality, as we've said here before, is not a one-stop shop. It's not a blanket medicine. It's not a panacea that you take one time and then you are right for the rest of your life. It is something that you work on. So the spiritual vitality and the spiritual well-being of a family and the spiritual well-being of the children and the mother by extent are something that must be poured into on a regular basis. So to have spiritually healthy children means to not only just have them armored and armed to be in certain spirit in certain situations, but rather in all situations. You want to go to, you know, back to Moya, upper space, you know, your children just don't catch anything. And so here then enters the chat of constantly, you know, cleansing and constantly, you know, keeping or having rather a very good spiritual hygiene. I think as one of our guests put it a few weeks ago, Ugogo uMkhulu Thando Lwethu rather mentioned the idea of spiritual hygiene, and that is constantly, you know, making sure that you are aligned. You know, your spirituality should be as natural to you as, you know, taking a breath, that kukhona izinto that have to be done on a continuous basis. And there are things that, you know, or rather you keep in mind that you don't do things one time and then you are spiritually safe for the rest of your life. That doesn't make any sense. Not even, you know, a flu shot works like that. So naturally, spirituality and the way in which you protect yourself wouldn't work like that either. All in all, I think, you know, if I were to just leave Umbumi with some pearls of wisdom, I think when my mother was going through her separation many, many years ago, I remember having a discussion with her about, you know, keeping herself healthy for us. I don't know, you know, what guardian sort of possessed my body in that moment, but I was quite young. I must have been in my early 20s or my late teens. But the point was that, Uruti, you know, you can't say that you are staying in an institution, or you can't say that you are staying in a situation because you want to preserve, you know, the ethics of the Black family, or you want to preserve, you know, this family and the unity. I think there is false unity when people are unhappy, and younger generations, millennials and downwards, you know, as we would say, we don't deal with that fakeness at all. So it becomes very difficult to, when you decide as the person or as the parent that you are staying in this and it's going to be business as usual, it becomes very difficult to rope in the rest of the stakeholders in a way that is not detrimental to them at the end of the day. So I would lean into that as well, that you need to make sure, you know, that you are in a healthy situation for yourself. Sometimes it is difficult to get the outcome that is ideal for everyone. And I think the ideal outcome for Mbumi would have been to be in a marriage and in a monogamous marriage that she had agreed to. Because as she did say, she did not agree to polygamy. She does not want to call it polygamy, because polygamy requires a sense of consent or a level of consent from the first wife or the eldest wife. And so she did not enter this institution with that intention. And so if she does not want to do that and it makes her miserable and unhappy, she needs to do the thing that ultimately preserves her health, preserves her vitality, so that she can be a mother who is able to show up for her children on a day-to-day basis. Yeah, I think from me, that is the best that I can do for Umbumi at this moment. But I do think that perhaps in later discussions, we may have traditional healers or speakers or cultural custodians or experts telling us exactly if there are divorce rituals that, you know, that are meant to be held by families. Naturally, I'm speaking from a place of balance and the logic of balance, but for a person who has conducted lomsebenzi lo, I think it would be quite useful for all of us to hear what some of those things are, how to navigate practically, I suppose, the level, or rather the idea of separation on a traditional level. But for now, that's all from this episode of Gogo Have I Been Scammed. To share your story, please email us on gogohaveibeenscammed@gmail.com. That is gogohaveibeenscammed@gmail.com. Alternatively, you can reach out to us via our social networking platforms. That is on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter and TikTok under the handle at Gogo Have I Been Scammed. That is under the handle at Gogo Have I Been Scammed. Remember that you can find our latest podcast episodes on the Sowetan Live website under the podcast tab or across digital streaming platforms. That is Iono FM, Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Please remember to give our other podcasts a listen. That is Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Taking the Rams by the Horns, 30 Years of Democracy, Business Day Spotlight, and Chisa Live. Gogo Have I Been Scammed is a Times Live production, and our producer is Demi Luzo. I have been your host, Gogo Zipo Dolamo, and until next time, Togozani Kamakwini Emakosini.